morning is from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to begin with a prayer, which is a verse of a song we sung at the 9 o'clock service, which just I think is a really helpful prayer. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Please accomplish in us today some new work of loving grace, we pray. Unreservedly, have your way. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I want to begin this morning by talking about motorbikes. Now, I don't know very much about motorbikes. I'm not actually interested at all in motorbikes, and you probably aren't either. Well, some people might be. But I want to imagine, for us all to imagine, that we owned a motorbike, that we bought a nice, bright, shiny, new motorbike. And that we took it out of our garage every so often and we gave it a good polish and we made it look in pristine condition and we invited our neighbours around to say, come and look at my lovely new motorbike. And then when we went into town, what we would do is we would get on our motorbike and actually what we would do is we'd pedal with our feet and push it all the way to the shops. And then we'd turn around and push it all the way back with our feet and polish it again and invite our friends around and say, come and have a look at it and then put it away in the garage. But never turn on the ignition and see what it really can do. Perhaps out of ignorance of not knowing the power of the motorbike and not knowing what it really does. Perhaps because we were afraid that actually the motorbike might do things we weren't expecting or take us for a scary ride. Or perhaps because actually we just wanted to stay in complete control. And not to put our trust in a big, powerful bike that could do things that we couldn't do in our own power. What a waste it would be to never use it as it was intended, to never realize just what potential we were sitting on. Well, it's a stupid example, of course, but I think you probably know where I'm going. I wonder whether, as we sit here today, whether it's actually not that different to how sometimes we as individuals and as churches can relate to the Holy Spirit. Maybe like that silly motorbike example, we can so easily miss out on the amazing power and potential that the Holy Spirit offers us. Perhaps out of ignorance of who the Holy Spirit is. Maybe we're not sure of what the Holy Spirit does and what actually he offers us I think for some, actually, some so easy to think, actually, just of those supernatural, perhaps the things that people seem as a bit wacky. That's what the Holy Spirit does, but actually it doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything else. I think sometimes we can think that. Maybe some of us have experienced disappointment or pain from past experiences, and we hold back because we don't want to be disappointed again. Maybe it's because we want to keep control of our lives and are fearful of what might happen if we are fully open to the Spirit's work, if we turn on the ignition, as it were. You know, as we start this new series today, I want to really encourage each one of us, whatever background we come from, and actually sitting in this room, there will be a huge range of experiences and different views on this. But wherever we've come from, whatever our past experiences before, whatever teaching we've had about this subject, I want to invite us to come open to God, to lay down our preconceptions and come open to his Spirit doing a new thing in us as individuals and as a church through this series. And so much of this just links back to that phrase I put up initially, learning to live ordinary lives with God. And maybe as we do that, as we open ourselves, that each of us will in some new ways stop pedaling our own spiritual motorbikes, as it were, and learn to fully embrace the potential and the power of the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. So, first of all, I'd love us to just look at this question, who is the Holy Spirit? And it's really good timing because actually, of course, yesterday was Star Wars Day, wasn't it? May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I was a bit disappointed that it wasn't today, but it's May the 5th and it doesn't quite work as well. But, you know, I think sometimes actually we can think of the Holy Spirit a bit like the Force in Star Wars. That it's some sort of impersonal force out there which we can't grasp, which some people seem to have connection with and others just don't at all. But, you know, the Bible doesn't talk about the Spirit as simply being a power or an energy or a force we can control or use. It doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit being an it or a thing. But it talks of the Holy Spirit as being a person. Not a human being, but being a he, being a personal being, being the third person of the Trinity, as you can see there in the Riblov's great icon of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a person who we can relate to, who we can be in relationship with, who has the capacity to be in a special relationship with believers, those who are Christians, and with God the Father and Jesus the Son. A person who can guide us, who can lead us, who listens, who helps us, who has feelings. It talks in Ephesians 4 about grieving the Holy Spirit, that actually we can upset the Holy Spirit, in that the Holy Spirit has feelings there. And so if we think of the Holy Spirit as a person, a personal being, then actually it means we can actually talk to him. We can ask questions to him, pray to him, a bit like praying to God the Father, God the Son, Jesus. And we can build a relationship with him and make ourselves available to him. So the first thing there, that the Holy Spirit isn't a power, just a power to be harnessed, but a person to be in relationship with. The Holy Spirit, secondly, is God. He's not a lesser kind of being than God the Father or God the Son, but he's equal to them. The Holy Spirit is God, and we see in the Bible that the words for Holy Spirit and God are used interchangeably. In Acts 5, the story of Ananias, Peter says to Ananias, "You have lied to the Holy Spirit." And then a little bit later, it goes on in the same sentence, "You have lied to God." Peter clearly refers to the Holy Spirit as God. If we look back to Genesis 1, right at the beginning of the Bible, did you know that the Spirit of God is mentioned in about verse 2? In the creation, it talks about God created the heavens and the earth, and then it goes on to say the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. The Spirit is God. The Spirit there is a creative spirit. And I love that picture of the Spirit being present and involved in creation. And in John 1, it talks about the Word, in the beginning was the Word. And so, therefore, actually, if we take John 1 and Genesis 1, at the beginning, we see God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit all involved in creation. But I love that picture of the Spirit hovering over the waters, ready to bring new things into being, ready to bring order out of chaos. And I think he's the same Spirit today, a creator spirit, a spirit who likes to take the chaos and the mess of our lives and the brokenness of our lives and bring order and new life and hope and transformation. Holy Spirit is not just God, but God with us. The passage that we read had read to us from John 14. Have a look at what it says in verses 16 and 17. Jesus, it says to his disciples, he says, I'm going away. He was going to die, and then I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to go back to be with my Father in heaven. But I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. But I will give you, it's a gift, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth. What does it say? To live with you and be in you. Now just let's stop and think what that means. The Spirit of Truth, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, the Spirit of God living in us and with us. I think that's pretty remarkable. That God himself comes to live in us by his Spirit. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that tonight at Deeper. Come and just hear us reflect a little bit more. But let's just get what that means. It means that we get to be carriers of the very presence of God. You see, wherever we go, on our front lines, in our families, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, we get to be carriers of God's presence into those places. It doesn't mean God's not already there. Of course God's there. But we actually carry the presence of God in us into those places. And where God's presence is, there's power. There's power to bring transformation, not because of anything about us, but because God's Spirit, God himself, is in us. That lovely phrase, which we're going to touch on tonight too, in Romans 8:11, it says, if the Spirit of God, a spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Just get this, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in each one of you as we go out to the places in our world. I think that's pretty amazing. And if we really understood that, if we were really able to grasp that, how different would we be there on our front lines? In the playground, talking to another parent who's struggling to cope with life, we come bringing the presence of God there. In our offices with our colleagues, when our colleagues are stressed and at loggerheads with each other, we come bringing the presence of God there. When we're sitting next to our neighbor who's recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer, we come bringing the presence of God there. How different would it be if we just grasped that truth, that God is not just with us, but he's in us. That the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead resides in us. And you know, the great news is that the Holy Spirit isn't just for the really spiritual ones among us. It's not, if we continue the Star Wars analogy, just for the Jedi Knights of this world. You know, the great thing is that actually, since Pentecost, God's Spirit is available to all believers. That's every single one of us who believe. You see, it's different to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit wasn't available to everybody, but was just given to a few people, a very few particular people, at a particular time for a particular job. But since Pentecost, that day when the Spirit fell on the disciples, the Spirit has been available to all believers, to each and every one of us who believe and trust in Jesus. We all get to play. We all get to be carriers of God's presence and power wherever we go. And over the next weeks, we'll be looking in more detail about just what the Holy Spirit does in us and how the Holy Spirit works in us. But I just want to give us an overview this morning of just what is it that the Holy Spirit does. And I think of it in two ways. I think of the Holy Spirit doing two big things, if you like. And the first one is this. The Holy Spirit transforms us inwardly. You see, when the Spirit works in us, we don't stay the same. The job of the Holy Spirit is actually to make us more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to act and respond like Jesus would. The Holy Spirit reveals the truth about God. He helps us understand what's true when we read Scripture. The Holy Spirit can bring healing and freedom to each one of us from the past. The Holy Spirit helps us to speak and pray and do the normal things of life. The Holy Spirit can bring us comfort and peace when we're in desperate circumstances. The Holy Spirit brings intimacy with God. We can experience God's peace and his love. And I've got a great personal story to tell of what God's done in me over the last few weeks, which 26th of May, I will tell it. Be there. It's a great story, but I'm not going to spoil it for you now. But I do want to just share a little bit more of what God's been doing in me, because I've really understood this stuff more, even in the last few weeks. Because even in the last few weeks, what God's been doing in me is really teaching me a little bit more about how we do life with God, about how we bring God into everything, and particularly the really difficult times of life, and particularly how we can give to God our very deepest and most painful emotions. Just an example of this, earlier on this week, I found myself in a situation where I was quite upset and angry about something. And I found myself really wanting to let that anger out against certain people. And I think 6 months ago I would have done. I would have probably just, it would have all come out. And actually, it would have been a painful mess. But actually, what I've been learning recently is actually learning to really take this stuff to God. And say, and if you like, bring God into those situations. And let me just talk through what I did, because actually I think this is such practical stuff about how we can do this stuff. Is I simply went to a quieter place and just before God, just said, God, will you come in to this situation? Often when we have anger in our hearts, actually it's the surface emotion, isn't it? And actually it covers up the things which are really underneath. And I said to God, actually, will you show me what it is underneath that's actually really making me angry? And will you show me actually how I can respond more effectively to this situation? And as I just worked out what I was really feeling underneath, I gave God those emotions. Now, I've learned to do this in a bit of a different way lately. I think before what I would say is, God, I've got a load of pain and a load of frustration and a load of rejection, a load of hurt, and I'm holding on to that. Will you come and help me with it? And what I've learned to do lately is to say, God, here is my pain. Here is my frustration. Here is my rejection. Here is my anger. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to physically hand it over to you. Because I can't deal with it, and I want you to have it and transform it. And as I was doing that, I just found over just a few moments, actually, I just found those deep emotions just beginning to soften and just peace coming in. And then I just prayed this prayer, because so often in those situations, we can go two ways, can't we? We can either just hide and avoid the situation. We can run away. But actually, we're still holding on to the stuff. Or we can fight, and we can just let it all come out. But actually, neither of those ways are right. And actually, what I said to God is, I don't know how to respond here. Will you show me the way? Holy Spirit, will you show me the way to respond? And just as I was praying that, within a couple of minutes, I just felt God gave me a way of responding, which actually wasn't that way or wasn't that way, but it was a third way, a way of transformation. A transforming way, a way actually which would transform the situation. And just as I stepped into that, God did transform the situation. It didn't blow up as it could easily have done if I'd done it my way. But, you know, that's what God's been teaching me, particularly lately, to just really, in those painful, difficult times, which we all face if we're honest, to say, God, will you come in? Will you come into the middle of this? And to give God our emotions and to say, God, will you show me? It's that thing of, if the Holy Spirit is a person, we can ask the Holy Spirit questions. So the question I asked was, what do I do? How do I respond in a godly way? And actually God showed me. And I really encourage you to try that. I've been amazed at how helpful it is to just step back, to invite God in, to offer God our emotions, and then to say, God, how do I respond? And actually it's healing. It's transformative. And this is where the Holy Spirit can bring real change. So I think that's part of what God does. The Holy Spirit transforms us inwardly. But actually it doesn't just stop there. You know, why does the Holy Spirit transform us? Not just so that we can feel better about ourselves, but actually because of part two. Because the Holy Spirit transforms us inwardly and then sends us outwards. See, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of mission. The Holy Spirit sends us out. It empowers us for God's mission. He gives us gifts for his service. He helps us to witness. He helps us to act and speak for justice in this world. He guides and directs us. He gives us courage and boldness, all of those things. Because the Spirit is a sending spirit, as we see in Acts. When the Holy Spirit came, the disciples didn't just sit there saying, we're having a lovely time, aren't we? They went out and they changed the world because the Holy Spirit empowered them to go out and to change the world. And, you know, I find that really exciting that God gives us his Spirit to transform us and then to send us out to be agents of change in this broken world, to carry on ourselves doing the mission of Jesus. And the great thing is that God doesn't leave us to do this stuff on our own. In our own strength, but he gives us his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit which raised Christ from the dead is given to us so that actually we can join in with what God is already doing. And you know, again, this has been a big part of my journey over the last few weeks, of God showing me actually how I need to do less and allow him to do more. You see, God has shown me actually that I don't have to make things happen. We as a church don't have to make things happen. The amazing stories of who God's bringing, particularly up at All Saints at the moment, have just showed me that actually God's at work. We just need to look out and see, where is God's Spirit at work and where is he calling us to join in? And you know, that can be really releasing, because actually it means that the burden of results isn't on us, but it's on God. That we can say to God, actually, we're going to do our bit, but actually whether this church grows or whether people become Christians or whether actually that conversation saves that marriage or whatever, actually the responsibility is not down to me, it's down to you. And we push that back onto God because it is the Spirit's responsibility. But we're just called to be obedient and to be faithful and to be alert to what God's calling us to do. And that's what I'm trying to live in. That's what I hope we as a church will continue to understand what that means. That we don't have to force this stuff. We don't have to force mission. But we need to be alert to what God's doing and where God's leading us. You see, I think there's a real danger of churches like us, where actually we're well-resourced, where we've got access to finances, to people resources, to buildings, to really good people. And the danger is that we become self-sufficient and self-reliant. And we do things in our own strength, our own way. And we perhaps can pay lip service to the Spirit and actually reduce the Spirit to giving us a great experience at deeper in an evening. But actually, the Spirit is so much more than that. We need to learn to rely on the Spirit as the early church did. You know, the early church had no resources. The early church had no buildings. Thank goodness. The early church had a bunch of, well, fishermen and really not very clever, not very experienced people in many ways. They hadn't been to theological college. They hadn't been trained. Might have been much easier for them. But what did God do? God transformed the world through them. Because they had to rely on the Holy Spirit. those first few believers, and we're told that actually on the day of Pentecost there were, what is it, 300 believers? Or even less, that actually God took those people, and we're here now because of them. Why? Because they totally relied on the Spirit. I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. He says that if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 90%, 5% of what we do would go on and no one would notice the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped and everybody would have known the difference. You know, I want us to be a church which is totally reliant on the Holy Spirit, not on our own strength. I want to be an individual who's actually doing things totally reliant on the Spirit, not on my own strength. And if we do that, just who knows what God will do? You see, Jesus invites us. The Spirit invites us today, throughout this series, throughout the rest of our lives, into his big adventure. He says you don't have to do anything in your own strength anymore. But he invites us to get on our spiritual bikes, as it were, and to turn the ignition on. And just to see where he takes us. And to see what we can do. And you know, it will be scary. It is scary to do that. God will take us into places where we're completely out of control. And particularly if you've worked at Kinetic and have been used to the scientific mindset and are used to being in control, that's quite difficult. And for a lot of other professions too. But actually we need to give control to God and just see where he's going to go, where he will take us. Will we be open to him? Just pause, shall we, and just come before God. And I want to invite you to do what I've been learning to do, and that's ask the Holy Spirit a question. I want you simply to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you doing in me right at this moment? Or what do you want to do in me right at this moment? What do you want to say to me? What out of what Dave's just said do I need to hear, and how do I need to respond? Let's just all ask that question. Just think there. Just I want to give you a few ways that you might respond with God now. Just, I suspect there are quite a few of us here who just resonate with the story I shared of me this week, and maybe we are holding on to some really difficult and deep and maybe painful emotions at the moment. Maybe just to do with others. And actually we are doing that thing which I said, we're holding on to them, and actually we're perhaps inviting God into that, but we're still holding them. And actually I think God wants you to offer them and just give them to God this morning. Give them to the Holy Spirit and just invite the Holy Spirit into that situation and ask in that situation, how do I respond? What's that transforming way? What's that middle way which is going to bring God's life and transformation into that circumstance? I think for some, actually, that's what God wants you to do this morning, and just do that for the rest of, just begin to do that now for the rest of the service. I think maybe there are others here who just know that actually because of fear, they just don't want to turn that ignition key. Perhaps you've actually misunderstood what the Spirit's about. Perhaps actually you've just not seen how the Spirit can help you in the ordinary things of life. And just God wants to say, just turn the throttle up. Just open that throttle. Turn the ignition key on today and invite me in. And maybe your prayer is simply, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Come and do in me whatever you want. Maybe there are others who, because of pain and disappointment of something in the past, actually you've sort of shut up shop to the Holy Spirit. And you know you have, really. Or maybe there's something in your life which actually you're just not inviting the Holy Spirit into. And actually God's prompting you today to say, actually, you need to let the Holy Spirit in there. You need to let me in there. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your finances. And God says, will you open that area of your life up to the Holy Spirit and allow me to come in and transform And will you ask the question, God, what, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do here? Or if it's a hurt from the past, actually open that hurt up to God. Tell God your deepest emotions and offer them to him and say, will you come and bring me healing and allow me to open that door again, to switch on that ignition again to you where I've shut it off. It's just in the stillness, just respond however we need to with God. Ask God questions, ask the Spirit questions. Just one verse to just share with you, just from Luke 11. Jesus, when he's talking about prayer and what asking of the Father for things, says, if you then, though you're evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You see, God, your Father wants to give you good things. He wants to bring life and freedom and release. Trust him that he wants to give you good things. I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and we've got a block of worship now, and I want to just invite you to carry on responding to God however you need to. There's space at the back, and if three or four prayer ministers could go to the back and just be there to pray with people. Sometimes actually we need other people to pray with us on these things because we can't do it ourselves, but actually a lot of the time we can do it ourselves, and maybe actually you need to stay in your place and pray and allow God to continue to work, or you might want to just sing and use these songs as a way of just opening yourself to him. But just, there's an opportunity to do some business with God. So please do go and receive prayer if there's anything that actually you want to offer to God. Or turn to the person next to you and get them to pray. But let's just invite, and we say, Holy Spirit, will you come? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are a God who brings transformation, who brings healing, who brings restoration. And will you come now into the deepest stuff of our hearts and come and show us how to walk with you. Come and restore us, come and bring us healing and bring us release, and just be at work however you want to in this place. Just if you don't want to just sit and pray at the moment, I just really would love you to just stand and let's sing this.